Welcome to the ministry of Barefoot Church. I'm Clay Neesmith, the pastor here at Barefoot Church. And man, we hope what you experience here today will encourage you, motivate you, and inspire you in a great, great way. We are in a teaching series that we have titled, What's in a Name? And we're basically looking in the Bible at many times where God changed people's name on purpose. Come on, somebody. He changed it on purpose in order to speak into what they were becoming instead of what they were. And I want you to know today, God is more interested in what you are becoming than what you currently are. Come on. And so we're going to let God speak into our heart again today. I do want to remind you to mark your calendars for March the 20th, Sunday night, 6 p.m. Let me say it again, March the 20th, Sunday night, 6 p.m. It's going to be a great reveal, a service where here at the church, we're going to be revealing the new name that God has given us as a church family. We're going to be celebrating that that particular night. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be phenomenal. And you don't want to miss that great reveal party. We're going to be revealing the new name of our church. And we're kind of building into that idea over the next several weeks because we want to prepare our heart for what God is going to do next. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to John chapter 1. And we're going to look at one quick verse there as our takeoff verse today. And I really believe that God is going to use our time together today to speak into many of our hearts in a powerful, powerful way. Now, let me set up this passage of scripture. Actually, the book of John records the first words that Jesus ever spoke to a man that we know in our Bible by the name of Simon of Peter. And that is recorded here in John chapter 1, verse 42. And what happened here was Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, decided that he needed to go get his brother Simon and bring him to Jesus because he had met Jesus, Andrew had met Jesus, and discovered that he was a liberator, that he was what the Jewish people in that particular day would have known as the Messiah, the one who liberates that group of people. And so he gets real excited about Jesus being the Messiah. He runs and grabs his brother Simon, and I want to show you what happens as soon as they approach Jesus. The book of John records this in John chapter 1, verse 42. It says, Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, which ultimately means rock. Now, this is, as we know, Jesus' first spoken words to Peter. May not have been the first time he ever met Simon Peter, but here the Bible says, as Andrew brings him to Jesus, Jesus looks intently at Simon. Now, have you ever had anybody look intently at you? Come on, just kind of stare you down. You know what I'm saying? So I want to just put you in the shoes of Simon. He comes to meet this liberator, and that liberator meets his eyes eye to eye, and the first words out of his mouth is, you know what? Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called something different. You will be called Rock. You will be called Cephas. You will be called Peter. And here we have Jesus meeting Simon where he is, but begins to speak to what he was going to be in the future. Now, this was quite a process. In order to change him from this one name to be known by another name, it was a journey. It was a process, just like it is in your life. See, Jesus is interested in not just picking you up where you are, no matter where you are in your life. He is not just interested in meeting you. He looks intently into your life. If you truly meet Jesus, and what he begins to do is speak into what you will be in the future. This is known as a life of transformation. In other words, God is interested in transforming you when you meet Jesus, not just leaving you the same. transforming you into a kingdom player, a kingdom citizen. He doesn't necessarily change Simon's personality, but he changes his thought processes, and now Simon redirects his personality to something different. And later on, he becomes this, what we know as a spiritual rock. He is a rock in the foundation of the church being birthed in the book of Acts. He's a rock in the early church, and many of us have built on the legacy that he carried as he connected to Jesus, and he laid some foundation for us in the local church. Again, you know, Jesus didn't necessarily change his personality, and I don't think Jesus wants to change your personality either. Matter of fact, God created you with that personality. So stop trying to be something that you're not. In other words, just because you become a Christ follower doesn't mean that your personality changes. It just means your heart changes and your heart's redirected. And now you take on a new purpose and this new nature of God in your life, and he takes and he begins to shape or redirect that personality. Look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. It says, you know, what we need to learn to do is change our thinking. It says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now that's hard to do because we live in the earth, right? And sometimes it's hard to refocus our mindset on the things of heaven. But he says, for you died to this life, is what the writer here says, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, and that's going to happen, and it may be going to happen sooner than it is later, okay? He says, when he's revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. How many of you are really looking to the return of Christ? Because we live in a day and age when we live between the resurrection and ascension of Christ back to heaven and his return back to earth. And as we approach his return back to earth, the Bible says it's going to be a glorious day for those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus, because we're going to be known to all of creation as his followers, as his children, and he's going to set up an unshakable kingdom, and it's simply going to be amazing. So what made Peter this unstable person before was the world that he lived in, but Christ says, look, I'm going to shift you from being unstable to very stable. That's what it means. I mean, think of it this way. You know, a piece of paper is what? It's a little unstable, right? And so he's saying to Peter, you know, your life is a life of being a fisherman. He meets this fisherman, and he's a very unstable person. In other words, his emotions are like a roller coaster. If you look at the life of Peter, he's one way one minute and another way the next minute. Kind of like my wife would say, I am, you know? What they would refer to as an extremist. I can be this way, and then all of a sudden I can be that way. And what Jesus is saying to him, in the future, you won't be driven by just your emotions. You're going to be driven by the identity that I give you. You're going to be a rock. You're not just going to be, you know, just a piece of paper floating around in the air. You're going to be a solid rock. You're going to be stable. And it's fascinating to look at Peter's life as he was Simon in the Gospels, because Simon is at one point in time announcing Jesus as the Son of the Living God, and the next moment he's scolding Jesus for talking about the suffering that he would experience. So just think about that. You're the Son of the Living God, but Jesus,
You're talking about suffering, and here's the deal. I'm going to scold you because you ain't going to suffer, Jesus, as long as I'm around, is what Peter basically tells him. One minute we see Peter having great faith in Jesus and jumping out and walking on water, and the next minute he begins to have incredible doubt, and he sinks below the water. He's one minute telling Jesus, Jesus, I will never leave you. I'm willing to die with you. And then the next minute we find him denying Jesus. When the going got tough, we found him denying Jesus three times. This is Simon. And again, I identify with Simon because, you know, oftentimes my emotions will begin to make me like that piece of paper. I'll just be thrown from one side of the aisle to the other side of the aisle. And the book of James tells us something incredible. I want to show it to you. It says, be sure, in James 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver like that piece of paper I just showed you. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as the wave of the sea, and it's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Again, at one point in time in the Gospels, we see Jesus speak to Peter about his unstable mindset. In other words, and just having his mind fixed on earth and not on heavenly things, this is what Jesus says to him in Matthew 16, verse 23. He says, you are only seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. See, if we don't learn to change our mind and begin to not look at things only from a human angle, but to begin to look at things from our Creator, our great God's angle, then we'll just be tossed by the things of this earth from one side of the other. We'll be unstable. But the more we grab on to God and begin to take on the identity that God gives us as we're birthed anew through Christ Jesus, then the more steady we get. And the bolder we become with this good news about who Jesus is. And we see Peter turn into this rock. Jesus says, Peter, you will be called rock. And where Peter is mainly called rock is throughout the book of Acts in our Bible. The Acts is about the early church. And we see Peter from the very beginning of the early church stand up. And the Bible says he basically preaches the good news about the resurrected Jesus Christ to a bunch of people at Pentecost, a bunch of Jewish people at Pentecost, and many of them turn from trusting in themselves and in their religion. They turn their heart towards Jesus, and the Bible says that they were rescued or they were saved in that particular moment. Throughout the book of Acts, we see the incredible boldness and the incredible steadiness, the rock-like spirituality of Peter began to manifest itself in a powerful way. You know, Peter is persecuted throughout the book of Acts. He's talked about. Okay, some of his fellow citizens, his Jewish friends, didn't like him and didn't like what he was saying. And so they began to persecute him. And many of the early apostles of our faith, those who were sent out with our faith. And I want you to know, if you choose to follow Christ with your life, persecution will come your way. And so what happens is we have to learn to hang on to Christ, steady our life. In other words, just because you grab onto Christ doesn't mean that the things in this world are not still going to fall apart. And again, all we have to do today, this very day in 2022, is just look at what's going on in the world. And many people are becoming more and more unsteady, unstable. Many of us are shaken because of what is happening in the world. But Jesus plainly said it 2,000 years ago. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. He says, but take heart, because I am going to overcome the world. I have overcome the world, and you can hang on to me. I'm a stable anchor. What does the resurrection prove to us? The resurrection of Christ proves to us that God has power, and he has power over death itself. He has victory in your life. If you would so dare to believe by faith that God can salvage you no matter what comes against you. Come on. And so what Jesus announces is, in this world, you know what? These things are these things that happen in our life, and relationships and the economy and wars and rumors of wars, they're going to begin to make the world feel unstable and unsettled. But you, Peter, you don't have to stay unstable and unsettled. You can become a rock, something solid, something that other people can begin to build upon and find true life in me. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all of us who are Christ followers are to become rocks. It says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, those of us who come to Christ, who is the cornerstone, the one we should align with and connect to and build our life on, it says, those of us who come to Christ are living stones. In other words, in God's temple, God's presence is residing in us. So we're actually housing the very presence of God, and we're to be like these stones where people can find who he is in the world. And so today I want to talk in the vein of how Peter became this stable rock, because I think it's important for us to understand that God wants us to have this same stability in our life. And if you don't have this stability, maybe this is going to speak to you today. And together, as it spoke to me, we can become an unmovable group of people, because we'll be rock solid in our faith that we have in God. And then we'll begin to see the world around us be built up in an incredible, incredible way. And so if you have your Bibles, what we're going to do for the next few moments is we're going to flip over to 1 Peter. This is the letter written by Peter later in his life, and he writes it to a bunch of Christ followers who were underneath tremendous stress, tremendous persecution. Now, he had gone through a lot of persecution himself, and he writes 1 Peter just to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to not give up, to hang on to their faith, because you know what? God is who he says he is. And I wrote down a few things about 1 Peter that I really think helps us be rock solid. And the first thing I wrote down is this, is we have to learn to stay hopeful. Everybody say hopeful. Again, when everything that you view around you seems hopeless, it's very difficult to keep hopeful. But you have to change your mind. The battle's in your mind. And you know, our anchor of hope has to become heavier than the hardships we face. And again, we all are going to face hardships. Some of our hardships physically are going to be a little bit more than other people's hardships, but we all face hardships. And if our anchor of hope becomes greater or heavier than our hardships, then we won't just drift around and float around like the sheet of paper. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Peter writes, "All praise to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again," born anew, got a different vision, a new life. That's what it means to be born again. doesn't mean to come back out of your mother twice. A man named Nicodemus questioned Jesus about this, and Jesus said, absolutely not. What does it mean to be born again? It means to be born spiritually. And when you're born spiritually, you begin to get a new view of life, a new hope in life. And it says it's because of God's mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. It says, now we live with great expectation. Does that describe your life when you get out of bed in the morning? I'm expecting great things because I've been born again. And I have my spiritual eyes open, and I'm expecting God to use us together as his house, as his people, as his living stones to do great and mighty things. The Bible goes on to say, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. This is wonderful. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day. On the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Again, that day is coming. It hasn't come yet. Jesus was revealed on a cross as a suffering servant, but he is coming the second time as a risen king that is setting up an unshakable kingdom. That day is still to be revealed. Though the world is shaken, he is an unshakable king. And the Bible says if we can keep hope in his return and he is coming back for his people, then it gives you a new perspective when you face hardships. In other words, those hardships won't last forever. And you have an inheritance that will. And your inheritance isn't the things of this earth. Your inheritance is the spiritual things in heaven, which are much greater and much higher than what you see here on this earth. So stop shaking when your bank account begins to empty out. Stop shaking when people begin to walk away from you. Stop shaking when persecution comes against you, because you belong to an unshakable kingdom and you have an inheritance that's held in a king's hands. Stay hopeful. And Peter says, you know, he didn't say the trials are going to be fun. Again, they're not fun. I hate them. I hate trials. I hate tribulation. I hate persecution. I hate things that come against me as a Christ follower. But I have to endure. And I have to love like Christ loved, even when people come against me. Because see, Christ doesn't always love what is coming out of a person, but he does love the person it's coming out of. And the way to their heart is the same way that Christ got to our hearts. It's through generosity, and it's with great love. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever would believe in him will not perish, will not waste away, but have eternal life. My friends, I know sometimes it is very difficult to stand in the face of persecution. It is very difficult to stand in the face of hardship, but we need to keep reminding each other of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We have hope in Christ Jesus. We have an eternal inheritance that will not decay. It will not die. It will not be destroyed. Man, you know, I think about this often in my life. And so this begins to get me to live with great expectation. In other words, when things don't go my way this week, I begin to live with great expectations. This week won't last forever. When you know, it doesn't happen this year, this month, or this decade the way I want it to happen, I begin to understand I can still live with great expectation because this week, this month, and this decade will be over at some point in time. It will go away. It will fade and be destroyed. But I have an inheritance in an eternal home, in an eternal heaven that my Jesus has made for me. And this, all of this stuff is just developing my faith in him. Is it developing your faith? Because the Bible says that these things begin to make us more stable with our faith. It begins to help us understand that God can show up in powerful, powerful way. Again, ways. Our anchor of hope has to become heavier than our hardships if we're gonna turn into a spiritual rock instead of some flighty piece of paper. Next thing I wrote down is this: we have to stay hungry. Stay hungry. You know, I've discovered in my own physical life that sometimes if I eat too much or I eat the wrong foods, I'm not very hungry, but I'm not very productive either. Have you ever discovered that? Your diet, your physical diet is very important. In other words, if you get up this morning and you eat 12 Krispy Kreme donuts before you got out, you probably had a sugar high. And you felt good for a minute, but that's you who are sleeping in the room right now. Because you're not being very productive with your mind and your mindset. See, a lot of times what we put in our physical body can hold us back. And again, I think we need to stay hungry for the things of God and the Word of God. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter puts it this way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. It says, so here's what you need to do. Get rid of all evil behavior. Get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit. Come on. It says hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. Wow. It says like newborn babies, he uses this analogy throughout the whole text here, but you're born again, and like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. If we've tasted God's kindness for forgiving us of our sin, our missing the mark of his glorious standard. We've tasted the goodness of Christ who died on a cross, the love of God who shed his blood on a cross and defeated death and rose from a grave. If we've tasted that kindness, the Bible says, then that kindness should turn us away from our sin, is what it says in Romans chapter 2. It says, because of God's kindness, people turn away from their sin. And so it should turn us away from filling our life with things that don't make us productive. But instead here it says, crave pure spiritual milk. The pure spiritual milk here in this passage literally is the Word of God. That's what spiritual milk is. Just like a baby is hungry for a mother's milk. It says, if you really want to put off all of these other things, then crave the Word of God like a baby craves milk from his mama. It says, because this is what will begin to make you grow into the full experience of your salvation. You want to know how to experience your salvation to the full? In other words, Christ has saved you. He has rescued you from your sin. But how do you experience it to the full? Because God wants to be experienced. He wants you to experience salvation here on earth as it is in heaven. That means you're hungry for the Word of God. And you're not just reading it like a novel. You're reading it for transformation. You're reading it to apply to your life. You're reading it to interpret it in context. You're reading it to understand what it meant when it was written to a group of people, but how it personally applies to your life in this day and age, because it's alive, it's breathing, it's full of hope, it's full of truth, it's full of glory, and it will change your life if you will crave it like spiritual milk. Daily, suck on the word of God like a baby would suck on a little, you know, whatever babies suck on. Latch on, man. And don't let go. See, this is how we grow. This is how we mature. This is how we experience the fullness of our salvation. This is how we become this spiritual rock and not just be like a piece of paper floating through the wind or a sea on a sea. As every wave comes by, we're being knocked about and we don't know how to hold our spiritual plumb line. In other words, because one person says this and one person says that, we don't know how to hold and anchor ourselves to truth because we have believed Google more than we have believed the word of God. Come on, somebody. We believe the voices that we hear in the media. Whatever media station you watch, we begin to believe that more than we believe what God's word has said. And it's not saying that what everything they say is untrue, but we know real truth that he is going to return. He is going to come back. There will be trouble in this world until he comes back, but we hang on because we know the one and we know his word. And we keep manifesting this to the world around us. My friends, the book of Ezekiel says something fascinating in Ezekiel chapter 3. It says that Ezekiel was to basically speak to the people of Israel, and God tells him to eat the scrolls. I did this one time on the platform when I was teaching through that passage. I just ripped out a page of the Bible, and I ate the page of the Bible. And again, to illustrate something, that's what it means to crave the word of God, ingest the word of God. Let it get inside of you. You know, again, worship is an expression out of you. Prayer is something that you do and you typically talk to God and all of these things. But see, if you're going to have a good prayer life and you're going to have a good worship life, then what you have to have is a good diet and ingest the word of God. Because you really can't give out what you haven't put in. And what happens many times is people are trying to worship God, come rolling up in this place, and you hadn't eaten anything from God's word all week long. How can you express to God who he really is if you don't have a hunger for his word and let him get inside your heart and transform you into this new creation? See, again, we can express outwardly all kinds of things, but when it becomes really powerful, is when we've ingested the word of God into our life and in our heart, and then we give out of what has gotten into us. Oftentimes, you know, sermon, you know, preparation and what's going on in a preparation of how I come up and teach what God is saying in his word, it typically comes from a lot of experiences that I'm having in my life, and I've gone to the word of God to read in God's word and ingest it in my own heart before I began to spit it out here on the platform. In other words, I'm not just reading a text. I've internalized what it says. See, this is what it means to ingest the word of God. You're internalizing what it says. You're owning what it says. You're putting it in you, and then it will come out of you in a manner that God can use in a powerful, powerful way. Stay keep hope, stay hungry. The last thing I wrote about being a spiritual rock is this: stay humble. Stay humble. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, all of you should be of one mind, sympathizing with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. He goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, all of you should dress yourselves in humility. Look at this. As you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. What this tells me is I don't have to take the power of God that is in me and lord over people. All I have to do is take the power of God in me and come alongside of others who the power of God lives in. And then together we each take our rightful position and we begin to share the goodness of who God is in the world. But see, you can't do that whenever you don't have a heart of humility. You begin to take one role or one position or one person and begin to elevate it over another. And I need you to know today that a heart of humility understands that we are all called by God. And we're all called to join together to do something great, and it's to make his name great and permeate this earth with his amazing presence. And I can't do it without you, and you can't do it without me. And so we're gonna come humbly and we're gonna encourage each other. We're gonna build each other up in the faith. We're gonna walk with each other. We're gonna have sympathy with each other. We're gonna hope together. We're gonna begin to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. We're gonna begin to elevate the hope in Jesus and other people. And we're gonna humbly say that we're all going through this together. We wanna walk with you. We want you to join up. We don't want you to quit. We don't want you to give up. We don't want you to pull over to the side, man, because God has a plan for your life. He's turning us into a spiritual rock, a temple, living stones that are joined together because of who Christ Jesus is. And my friend, the Bible says he's the cornerstone. He's the one we're to align with. He's the anchor to it all. He's the one we're to build our life upon. And the question is, are you becoming a rock? Or are you just floating around like a sheet of paper? Because though Jesus called Simon that you will be a rock, my friend, he's calling each and every one of us to have a rock solid faith in who he is and keep expanding the kingdom just like Peter did. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And I thank you, God, that you've called each of us to be a solid rock with our faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being that cornerstone, that anchor, that one that we can align our life with, that one that we can join up with, that one who we can begin to depend upon in a great, great way. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for giving your life on a cross, defeating death and resurrecting from a grave so we could all have hope. And God, as discouragement comes, as decay comes, as death even comes, God, let us hang on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the eternal power of God. And God, may we know that we will join with you. We will join with all the other saints who have gone before us and who will come after us, God, and we're gonna be a part of your incredible, incredible family. God, I pray for each person here today in a special way. God, as this world is beginning to shake, God, may we cling to an unshakable kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the King who will never shake. His name is Jesus. And my friend, if you don't belong to that family today, I need you to know it's why Christ came. It's why he died on a cross. It's why he defeated death 2,000 years ago. So humanity could be forgiven of their sin and come back to God. And my friend, God don't want you just to come back to him right now. God wants you to come back to him right now and begin to be transformed into this new creation that he so desires to see you to be. And so commit yourself wholly today to the Lord. Begin to commit wholeheartedly to what God wants to do in your life. Don't just kind of show up, but begin to show up and participate and see what God can do in your life. And just invite Jesus into your heart today, because you see, it's the reason he came. He came to build up his church. He came to make his name great through us. And he's inviting each of us to be a part of it. And all you have to do is step in. It's a free invitation for every single one of us. And if you need to do that today, just simply right where you sit, say something like this: God, I'm tired of doing life my way, and I'm ready to come underneath your leadership. God, I desire to be born again. Say, I want to thank you for the cross of Christ, the love that was expressed as Jesus shed his blood on that cross to me. God, I thank you for the resurrection of Christ, where death will never rule and reign over my life again, and your very power will exist inside of me. Tell God thank you for that gift. Just receive it by faith today, and then begin to walk with God as he begins to transform you. My friend, you have to make a commitment, and that commitment is to believe by faith and trust him every step of the way. I promise you this, if you do the work that God calls you to do, then God's gonna work in you and work through you. But my friend, you're not working for your salvation. You're simply working out your salvation. And the Bible says that if we do that, God will show up in a powerful way. So I invite you into that today. And don't you give up on what life brings your way. Don't you give up on Jesus. Hang on, because God is going to build us into a spiritual rock. And we pray this in his most holy and precious name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged, motivated, and inspired today by the message. And again, man, we believe in you. We believe great things for you. It's because of many people's faithful giving that we're able to go out around the world. If you choose to invest in Barefoot Church, just go on over to barefootchurch.com. You can give there. But go out, live your purpose, and be inspired in a great, great way.